B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Vivian Campbell is my guest today on Talkin' Rock, and we talk about a number of things, including Def Leppard's induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You know, it's a great honor for us. We're very, very, very thrilled with that. It's something I think that the band deserves.
He talks about his relationship with the four original guys from Def Leppard and his thoughts about them going into the Hall of Fame, as well as being the new guy that 27 years in.
It's a weird situation. You know, but having said that, I mean, I've always been made to feel part of the band.
We talk about his other project, Last in Line, with a tribute to his old boss, Ronnie James Dio. It's no secret their relationship was rocky at best.
You know, I think that Ronnie and I connected on a level that was very, very beneficial musically. Maybe not so much personally. I mean, our personal relationship was a little bit strained.
We talk about playing clubs versus stadiums. We talk about his health and much more. It's Vivian Campbell from Def Leppard today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Thank you guys so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. I do appreciate it. And people ask me this all the time. What's your favorite interview? And it's always the next one I have coming up. I've got some favorites in the past. I mean, Sammy Hagar is easy to talk to. Nugent, David Coverdale is always fun. But Vivian Campbell's always great to talk to as well. He's super candid, and he's done a lot of stuff in his life between, you know, Whitesnake, Dio, Def Leppard for the last 27 years. He's got Last in Line with his tribute to Ronnie James Dio. Just a lot of stuff going on. And I don't know, for whatever reason, this interview might be my favorite I've done with him. Well, I know exactly why, because he opens up about his relationship with Ronnie James Dio. And I'm a huge Dio fan growing up and stuff, just watching Dio playing concerts, doing all sorts of stuff. And he opens up near the end of this conversation about his relationship with Dio. We talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Def Leppard. I mean, just his health. I mean, this conversation's really killer. So I hope you guys like this as much as I did doing it. Then we got rock news with Al Beck. Greta Van Fleet canceling some dates. Patrick Kearney for the Black Keys. He's got some stuff going on. We talk about Weezer as well as Miles Kennedy and Slash. They have a lot of stuff going on also. But first, it's Vivian Campbell today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. Enjoy.
How's it going there?
It's going okay. We're here in Detroit. You're going to be at the Token coming up on March 23rd with Last in Line. It's always funny to, you know, of course, last time you were in town, you were playing at Ford Field with Def Leppard and Journey and whatnot. And then you're going to the small stage of the Token. That's got to be like, I don't know, a screw with your mind a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's all part and parcel of the same thing. It all, you know, fulfills me. You are what you do, and all I ever wanted to do was be a guitar player in a rock band, and I'm exceptionally fortunate that I get to play guitar in two exceptional bands, you know, and two very, very different things. And Leppard is the kind of band, like the bigger the venue, the more we bring. You know, everything about Def Leppard, like starting with the music, everything is over the top, big, bombastic. And I kind of felt that when we were on tour with Journey last year, playing these baseball stadiums, like that we really, I think Leppard delivered our best shows in those stadiums. You know, that's really where we come alive. And every aspect of our performance, you know, the video, the lights, just how we present the songs and the music is, it's the more space we have to grow into, the better. And then conversely, there's Last in Line. You know, the extent of a Last in Line production is four guys in sweaty black t-shirts. You know, we don't have the Def Leppard budget to do it, but, you know, it's great to play these venues. And the Token Lounge, we played there last year.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, it's an exceptionally nice little venue and wonderful people. They really took great care of us, and we're looking forward to going back there. And it was a great show altogether.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, you're going to be going from the stage at the Token to a few weeks later on the stage, you know. I mean, it's a bigger stage, obviously, but it's a big, much bigger stage when you're inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly. I literally fly the morning after the Token Lounge. I think I get about 3 hours sleep, and I have to fly to New York. We're going to be in New York all week doing press and rehearsals for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And on March 29th, we get inducted, Def Leppard. And, you know, it's a great honor for us. We're very, very, very thrilled with that. It's something I think that the band deserves, you know, speaking as a 27-year member of Def Leppard. But for many, many years prior to that, I was a fan. I mean, I bought the Wasted single before the first album came out, and then I bought all the albums. And so I was very, very much a Def Leppard fan prior to Joe asking me to join the band. And as a fan, I bought the Hysteria album on both cassette and CD, and was amazed that not only did Def Leppard not win any Grammys, but Leppard didn't even get nominated for any Grammys for what is an absolute landmark record. So that kind of framed how I feel about industry awards. You know, I don't always feel like they go where they belong. Having said that, you know, here we are getting into the Hall of Fame, and it's not something that we take for granted. Like I said, we're very grateful for this, very honored by it. It does feel very grown up,
yeah.
I gotta say. But I think it's something that my bandmates certainly deserve. I'm not sure if I deserve it, but they certainly do, you know. And I'll be sure that on the night, as I've no doubt Joe and Sal and Phil and Rick will also be sure to be mentioning Steve Clark's name as many times as possible, you know. And we're also hopeful that Pete Willis will show up. You know, I do think that Pete deserves to be there also. He was part of the original band and those early records. And so all in all, I think it's a good night for Leppard. And the one thing that we will never lose sight of, and we're particularly impressed and pleased by, is the fact that we won the biggest ever popular vote
yeah.
to help get us in there. And that really speaks a load about our fans. And that's always been our focus. You know, that's the most important award of all, is looking out there and seeing 10, 15, 20, 25,000 people in front of you, you know. Mm. That's what it's all about.
Now, you know, you talked about, of course, I got a feel, just, you know, not even knowing you, but having met you a couple times and whatnot, that you, like you just said, it's like you think that those other four guys really deserve this because they're original members and whatnot. When did you really feel like you became like a member of Def Leppard?
Well, there's always going to be a bit of a disconnect because of all that history that the band had prior to my joining. You know, I mean, there are certain times we're sitting in the dressing room together and the other guys are talking, and I can't join the conversation because it predates my involvement, you know.
Yeah.
So there is always going to be that sort of a thing. And like I say, it is a weird situation because I genuinely was a big, big, big Def Leppard fan. I mean, I had a lot of respect for the band prior to joining. And, you know, so it's a strange and unique sort of situation. I've been with the band for 27 years, but they have all that history of their own with Steve prior to my joining, and yet I have all the history with other bands, you know, with Dio and with Whitesnake and River Dogs and whatnot, and Shadow King, all prior to joining Def Leppard, you know. And I have this history of my own to which I reconnect with Last in Line band, you know. So it's it's a weird situation. You know, but having said that, I mean, I've always been made to feel part of the band. Like right from maybe I was on probation for the first tour, the Adrenalized tour of the early 90s, but certainly by the end of the tour, you know, they welcomed me into the band as a fully fledged member. And I can't say enough, I mean, about my bandmates and Leppard. It's a very unique band in every single way, every aspect. And there's a very, very strong cohesion between all of us. I mean, it's really is kind of like a family.
Yeah. Let's go back and talk about Dio here for just a second, because I know you've done a bunch of interviews today, and I don't know how many of the guys you talked to actually saw you play with Dio, but I saw you with Dio back in the 80s. And I mean, I'm just a huge...
Oh, kind of?
I know. I grew up in Buffalo in Western New York. I saw you at Memorial Auditorium.
Oh, okay.
Way back in the day, yeah. So anyways, but like I just talked with Rip Owens. He's got, you know, the Dio hologram and stuff. Well, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm very flattered that those guys continue to keep the music that we made with Ronnie alive. You know, it's I do honestly think that the early Dio albums were probably the strongest. There was such an immediate chemistry of the original band between, you know, Vinny and Jimmy and Ronnie and myself and that music that we created. So it's great that they're out there, and I think what they're doing is of benefit to us, because they're bringing attention to the legacy of the music we created. And I think that what we do is of benefit to them. So I think it is mutually beneficial. I've never seen the hologram, so I don't really know, but I do understand why they would want to do it. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people who never had the chance to see Ronnie when he was alive. And so that's about as close as he'll come, you know. And then on the other end of the equation, there's Vinny and I in Last in Line, and the two remaining members of the original band. And we're also doing our part to keep the legacy of the music alive while still looking forward by writing and recording and releasing our own original music and going out there and playing it side by side with the Dio classics. We're in a good position now, having our second album out there, to really balance the show, you know, between playing the key Dio classic songs and our own original music, which I think sits pretty well side by side.
Yeah. You know, like I said, I was a huge Dio fan growing up. I grew up in Western New York, and I actually had a friend who went to school with Ronnie in Cortland, New York. And so, like I said, I grew up with all those records and stuff. And I've always wondered this, and you've probably answered this question a billion times, but what was your relationship like with Ronnie when he passed?
I hadn't seen Ronnie. I got fired from the band halfway through the Sacred Heart tour, and the way everything went down and the way it was portrayed in the press afterwards left a very, very uncomfortable taste in my mouth. I wanted nothing to do with Dio, with the legacy of the music. And, you know, it was only after Ronnie passed away, and maybe that's what it took, but it was only after that, and together with a couple other things that were going on in my life, that kind of led me back to opening that door again and reconnecting with Vinny and Jimmy and playing that music, and that ultimately led to the Last in Line project. But I do feel that Ronnie and I had the gatekeepers gotten out of the way. I do think if we'd bumped into each other on the street, you know, we eventually would have made up. You know, Ronnie was a complicated human being, like we all are. You know, there's no black and white in human nature. It's all very nuanced. And you know, when I was in the band with Ronnie, I feel like he was very, very proud of me. When I first came to L.A. and we were doing the Holy Diver record, he kind of looked at me like his Randy Rhoads, if you want. You know, like the guitar player I discovered, this unknown guy. And so I really felt that he was proud of me. And he had kind of like this fatherly attitude towards me, and that's kind of how I looked a bit like. It was a bit like being in a band with your stepdad, you know, who happened to be an international rock star. That's kind of how I looked at it. And I was always very uncomfortable around Ronnie because I was a fan. I mean, I had Long Live Rock and Roll, Rainbow Rising, I had Heaven and Hell album, Mob Rules. I had those records. I was listening to those records when I got a call to come and audition for this new band. And you know, to be transported then from Belfast, Northern Ireland to LA in the 80s and to be around these guys and working with them, it was very, very bizarre to me. It was quite surreal, and I never really felt like I had a proper relationship with Ronnie because of that, because of my own discomfort and unease of being around these people that I felt were icons to me. And anyway, so, you know, one thing led to another. We made some great music together. We wrote those records together, wrote the songs. We made great albums. We had great tours. We had great success. And, you know, unfortunately, again, getting back to the industry gatekeepers, more to the point, I don't think I ever would have been fired from the band without the influence of those people. You know, I think that Ronnie and I connected on a level that was very, very beneficial musically, maybe not so much personally. I mean, our personal relationship was a little bit strained because of that inherent discomfort and that generational gap and whatnot. But the one thing we could do together was write and record great music, you know, and I know that Ronnie knew the value of that, and that's maybe why I was particularly angry with him when I got fired, because I think he knew what he was doing when he kind of threw that away. He threw away the magic of the original band, because I think he was afraid of going against the industry people that were advising him at the time, and you know, so that was always my beef with Ronnie. He didn't uphold his bargain with us, and you know, I felt a little bit of anger there because he knew what he was doing, but having said that, I think if we'd met each other and whatnot, we would have had a beer and kissed and made up and maybe made some more great music together, you know.
Well, that's a very candid answer, and I do appreciate that, Vivian. Hey, real fast, they're going to cut me off. I know I'm running way late here, but how's your health and stuff? You good?
It's always been the least of my concerns. You know, I did an infusion on Monday again. I do them about once a month when schedule permits. I've been very fortunate for the best part of the last 4 years. I've been doing immunotherapy and doing this new wonder drug. I was part of a 2-year clinical trial on it prior to that, and I happen to respond very well to this particular drug. It just holds the cancer in place and minimal side effects. I get tired, I get a bit of a cough, but other than that, you know, I can just go about my work, and that's the most important thing to me. I mean, even when I was doing hardcore chemo, I just want to keep working, and I did. You know, yeah. 2014, I was on stage with Def Leppard, completely bald and without eyebrows. You know, and there were a couple of hairy nights when it was really hard to pull off the show. But I was very grateful to my bandmates and Leppard for allowing me to do that, because I'm pretty sure I'd be dead if I didn't. You know, my work is what keeps me alive. You know, that gives me focus, and it's always been my primary passion in life. And so I'm very fortunate. I'm one of the lucky ones.
Well, that's awesome. Hey, listen, man, I've interviewed you a bunch of times. You're always so great to talk to, and I couldn't be happier for you going to the Hall of Fame with Def Leppard. And we'll see you here in Detroit coming up at the token before the ceremony. So thanks so much, and continued success, Vivian.
Thank you very much. Cheers, Michael.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Al Beck joins us once again for rock news, like I said, that you can use or not. That's what we determine it's called. Now.
I like it. You know, I think we should brand that permanently. Take it or leave it.
There you go. Take it, leave it. I don't care. Whatever. Yeah. You can stop listening. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's why we're at the end.
Exactly. Hey, where can I put Al? Put him way at the back.
That's okay? Right. At the back end.
Yeah. Hmm. Actually, should have had a whole bank of commercials before this.
You know? That's right. You're right. Get them all in before you can. So now that my confidence is boosted.
Yeah. Anyways. That was a great interview with Vivian Campbell. Really cool, man. They gave me 9 minutes. And after, you know, he was still talking through, you know, my 9 minutes. And I was like the last person that he was supposed to talk to say. So I didn't really feel like I don't want to be that guy
that pushes everyone back,
you know, because yeah. I hate that. I mean, they called me right on time. So they must have been kept on time. And I don't like to be that guy also where they're like, last question or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so anyways, but they were pretty cool. They just let it go, you know. And like I said, I think that was the last one I'd say, because I'm like, you know, I work in the afternoon. And so a lot of these people that talk to him today are like for morning shows or whatnot. So they're like at 9 and 10 mm-hmm. o'clock or whatever. Yeah. So I'm like, hey, give me the last spot. And they're always cool about that. And so I told you earlier, I really wanted to ask Vivian about his relationship with Dio at the end, and that was a great answer he gave, man. That was pretty in-depth, and he really really was candid about that, and that was cool. And I'm sure he's answered that question before, but I never really seen anything about that, but I thought that was killer, because, you know, like I said in the interview, I was a huge Dio fan growing up, and I just told you, I've never done this before or after, but I actually took all my CD liner notes to a concert one time in a plastic bag. Like a Kroger bag or something. And my friend was recorded some stuff with him or knew him or something like that. She goes, hey, you want to go on the bus? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And so I might have told this story before. I can't even recall. I tell so many stupid stories. But anyways.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, exactly. And this was like, this was around 1994, 1993, something like that. So anyways, my friend says, hey, do you want to go on the bus with me and see Ronnie? I'm like, hell yeah. And I think Vinny Appice was on the bus too. So anyways. Okay. He was signing the CDs for me, signing the CD covers, and whoever was in the band that was on that record, he would just pass it to them, and they would sign it too. Like he like kind of ran this whole thing. So on the bus for like, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes, and he was great, man, so nice, and just, you know, real hospitable and everything, and just a really nice guy. And that was cool because, like I said, I was a big fan. So then. He started like rolling some joints and stuff. And I'm like, at this point, I'm like, you know, I've spent way too much time on this bus, you know, and some people probably say, yeah, I should have smoked a joint with Dio, you know, and I'm
like, you don't want to overstay your welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, so I stand up and I go, hey man, listen, I'm going to split, you know, you've been, you know, super nice to me. And he looks at me, he goes, you don't have to leave because of this. You know, and he pointed, you know, I said, no, man, I said, you know what? You've been really kind to me and you know, you don't owe me anything. And you know, I just want to say thanks, whatever. And he stood up. and he looked, you know, he came up to like my eyes because I'm like 5'6". He's like 5'3" or something, right? Yeah. And so anyways, he hugged me and he said, hey, man, thanks for coming. And I never forgot that. And it was like one of the coolest things ever. And it's like, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do anything. You know, he didn't owe me anything.
You know, it's funny when you get this, like, you work in this job long enough, you meet plenty of people, but every so often you get that encounter with somebody.
Yeah.
And mine was a Zach Wilde. Mm-hmm. You know, years ago, remember he came in and in middays he performed in the studio.
Was that like 3 years ago?
No, this is much longer. Okay. We're talking like over a decade ago. He was playing at the Hard Rock here in Detroit afterwards.
Okay.
And I was on the promo team back then. So I went and I helped like load all of his equipment in the little van that he brought. And he's coming out and leaving, and like his tour manager's like rushing him along, like, you know, Zach, we gotta go. And so he's coming down the line and I see him and I shake his hand real quick and I was just, you know, hey, just want to say it was really nice to meet you. And he stops and he looks me in the eye and says, you're a sexy bastard, you know that? And he hugs me and he walks away. That was it. And that was my Zach Wilde encounter, you know?
Yeah, the first time I met Zach Wilde, I could go on stories all day long.
Oh, but especially that guy, too. Yeah,
I mean, I met him in 1991. I'm leaving the radio station at 6 in the morning. I was just, you know, I was just starting out in my radio career. And Ozzy was playing in town that night. And so I see this tour bus go by and I'm like, holy crap, that could be Ozzy. So I follow this tour bus to their hotel, wherever they're staying in the city and whatnot. And it was the band's tour
bus. Okay, yeah.
And so anyways, I think Randy Casillo and a couple other guys walked off. Zach Wilde stood outside his hotel in the wintertime, and I'll never forget this. He was like leaning with his back up to the wall with like 1 foot up on the wall.
Yeah.
Talking about football with me for like 20 minutes.
That's cool.
It was great. That was the first time I ever met him. He was
cool.
Yeah, he was really cool. But anyways, we could talk about stories about this all day long.
Yeah.
But no, Ronnie was really great. And, you know, Lizzie Hale, she's told me some great Ronnie James Dio stories. Of course, she was on the cover of that Ronnie James Dio tribute and the whole thing. So I hope you guys enjoyed that Vivian Campbell interview. You're going to talk about Greta Van Fleet right off the bat.
Yeah.
One of my friends works at the airport. He's a police officer there. And he saw Danny Wagner, the drummer from Greta Van Fleet. Didn't know who he was. And he's like, this guy looks a little shady. I'm going to see what's going on with this dude over here. And as he starts talking to him, he's like, yeah, where are you from? He's like, Frankenmuth. What do you do for a living? I'm a musician. And, you know, and also my buddy starts adding up in his head. He's like, oh my God, this guy's from Greta Van Fleet.
He's harassing this poor kid because he's 12 or whatever.
And so anyway, so he sends me a picture. Yeah. He says to Danny, he goes, yeah, my buddy's Meltdown. I don't think he knows who you are. And he goes, Meltdown knows who I am or something like that, you know, whatever. And so anyways, he says, I'm going off to the West Coast or whatever because you know, I went to cancel some dates because of Josh's vocals. So.
Yeah, that's actually what the story is here, Meltdown. They're not going to be going to Europe. They had to issue a statement canceling their upcoming European dates because of health reasons. They said they posted a statement online saying that a year and a half of constant touring has been both invigorating and exhausting, and Josh currently has a relentless upper respiratory infection that has not yet had a chance to heal, and his doctors have required extended rest, and that would be the only way to recover.
Yeah, some of those boys have to take more vitamins or something. I'm not sure what's going on.
Give them a bottle of Flintstone vitamins. But they did say that, this is Europe. It doesn't really affect us, but they are going to be rescheduling in the fall. They're young. He'll be fine. But they had to cancel some dates.
They've canceled a bunch of dates already so far. So, you know, hopefully it'll get, you know, it's kind of a grind, man. It's like going from playing college hockey and playing 30 games a year. Also, now you're in the NHL and you're playing 82 games a year. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's a grind. So
it is.
You know, these guys have to start to get used to it.
Yeah. So wishing them well and a speedy recovery to Josh there at Greta Van Fleet.
I wonder if Josh walks around his house pretending to hold up a wine glass like he does on stage.
I don't know. You got to get the practice in. You know, get that stage presence.
Danny,
practice somewhere.
Yeah. Danny, by the way, did tell my buddy that. Playing Saturday Night Live was like, you know, kind of surreal. He's like, man, these guys are, you know, just starting off and now they're starting to, you know, I mean, look, they played with, you know, Elton John and like all these, those guys are legit superstars, right? And so, then he's like, man, it's weird. We're there at Saturday Night Live and all of a sudden it's like we see all these people we see on TV and they're right there with us. You know, and I'm like, man,
I think that's because of how big they got and it happened so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're still kind of in shock and awe over the whole thing, you know, because it's, you know, it's been over the last, what, couple of years, really,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, really. The last year has just been like a whirlwind for those guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, they played a year and a half ago for us at our festival.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like 7,000-8,000 people there to see them.
Yeah.
When they took the stage at 5:30 in the afternoon, the place was like, you know, half full.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they opened the main stage.
Right.
And everyone was like, can't miss the opening act.
And you know, like we were talking about before, Rob Zombie was there. And then it's like, a month before that, they played for us at a bar for 150 people. So,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
So anyways, but switching gears to the Black Keys, and Patrick Carney's now got this, has got this other thing going on now.
Yeah, so it's half of the Black Keys anyway. I mean, we haven't had some new music from the Black Keys since 2014. However,
I know, what's going on with that?
I know, right? But Patrick Carney has just announced his debut album for his new band called Sad Planets. And no shocker here, Meltdown, the new album's called Akron, Ohio.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
All right.
It's due out here. If you're looking for something from Patrick, or at least, like I said, half the Black Keys, April 5th, the new album is going to be dropping.
Yeah.
And there is a new song available out there as well.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, what's going on here? There's two guys in the band. You know, that's what amazes me about a band like Slipknot, when there's nine guys in a band.
Yeah.
It's like, look, I have a hard enough time dealing with, like, one wife, and these guys have, like, seven of them, you know, theoretically. But it's like, never having been in a band, I can't imagine it's like a sports team. But, you know, you got to practice with your guys and whatnot. But in a band, it's like a little bit more personal, I would think, than playing in a sports team. But when you got two guys, it's like, dude, make it work somehow.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, moving on, speaking of new music, a new album coming very soon from Weezer. And whether you like these guys or not, you have to admit, when they do a music video, they like to have fun.
Hmm.
I mean, the whole concept behind the Teal album, which is available now, the whole covers album, it's all about having fun and kind of goofy off-the-wall covers that they did. And even their music videos, like they kind of spoofed the Aha Take On Me for their cover. Well, this one is, they just released a new music video for a song off the upcoming album, but their music video is like a spoof of Mr. Rogers. So you can check that out now online if you want, but of course, the new album is the Black Album.
Blasphemous.
Yes, of course, I know.
Why would you? It could be like the Plaid or the Striped or anything. Okay, the Black Album.
Yeah.
I mean, come
so
on.
The new album called Weezer, which they all are.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you know what? I'm not a huge Weezer fan, and I'm not a huge fan of their cover of Africa, because I have to hear it everywhere I go. But you know what? You got to give them props. In 2019, they're still reinventing themselves. They're still relevant. And
it could help you be more okay with that cover of Toto's Africa. The name of the song that I'm talking about, Weezer, is High as a Kite. So
High as a Kite. That might help. Yeah,
but yes, Weezer, the Black Album, coming out March the 1st, and that new video for High as a Kite is out there now. Another thing that just recently dropped, we've been talking about Mark Morton, you know, the guitarist from Lamb of God. He's got this this solo album that's coming out. So far, there's been a couple tracks. We had Randy Bly, his bandmate from Lamb of God, on one. Chester Bennington, guest vocals. We've got a third track from the upcoming album now. This one featuring Miles Kennedy.
Yeah, it's kind of cool when they do that kind of stuff. You know, Slash put out that record several years ago, and it had Miles Kennedy, I think, on two tracks. Then he had like Lemmy and Ozzy and Kid Rock and different things like that. I thought that was a killer record when you get, you know, all these different special guests and stuff.
Yeah.
So is he doing something like along the lines of that?
Yeah. I think he's got different people on the whole thing. Anesthetic is the new album. Like I said, he just dropped this new song with Miles Kennedy. The rest of the album is coming out here March 1st. So very, very, very soon.
Okay.
But speaking of Miles Kennedy, my final story for this episode, Slash featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators, of course, the Slash solo project, just filmed a London concert, and that's actually going to be an upcoming DVD. So
yeah, is that like the O2 or something, the arena or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
At Apollo. Eventon Apollo.
Okay.
Geez, if I could talk.
Yeah, that would help.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. No, Slash is great in concert. You know, we just talked about this the other day. Duff has got his solo stuff.
Yep.
So, yeah, new Guns N' Roses, man. We're going to have to wait a little while for that, I think.
Yeah, you know? I think so, too. But you know what? It was always like that, never going to happen. And then they do it out. They do that tour.
That tour started 3 years ago.
I know.
And it's like, here we are 3 years later. And it's like, man, to be a fly in the wall, I wonder if they've recorded anything yet.
Yeah, and I've always appreciated that when they came to that tour, the fact that they kind of made fun of themselves, like the Not In This Lifetime tour.
Yeah.
Like, clearly poking fun of the fact that they said they would never get back together.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it was cool, man. That was, in my recent memory, that was, and I told Slash this, and And I just told him, you know, just whatever. And Slash, like, seemed to take it to heart. I'm like, dude, that was, like, one of the concerts I saw where when you guys took the stage, I was, like, really blown away.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're lucky. We're kind of a little spoiled to see concerts, you know. But it's, like, that was one of those shows, like, when Axl and Slash and Duff are out there, I'm like, holy crap, I couldn't even believe it, you know, yeah. The first time.
Yeah.
The second time, it lost a little bit of its luster. We say it toured for a year or something, but it was still killer, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyways, but give your socials out. Let's go.
Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, there you go. At Meltdown, WRIF, at Talkin' Rock with one. And, of course, you can check out our webpage at WRIF.com. Just go down to the podcast page and all the podcasts. Just talked with Nick Mason the other day from Pink Floyd. Dee Snider last week had an hour-long conversation with him in front of a live audience. That was killer. You just mentioned Akron, Ohio. I'm going to go see, I'm going to try, anyways, to go see John 5 in Akron, Ohio, coming up in early March. Yeah, John 5 was on the podcast already this year. If you like it and you've made it this far, give it a 5-star review.
You made it through the end.
write a review, a 5-star rating. We do appreciate that. Share with your friends as well. And 248-586-2899. 292988. I think it's 2988. I'll look that up. And give us your
insert edit here.
Yeah, I'll put it in the description. Exactly. And thanks so much for listening. Talking Rock with Meltdown. Do appreciate it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.